The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm Tammy Grimes. As Mr. Barnum is reported to have said, and he would know, there's one born every minute. One what? One sucker, of course. And what is a sucker? According to Mr. Webster, a foolish, gullible, trustful person, easily seduced and taken in. And if you examine that definition closely and honestly, given the right time, the right place, and the right situation, it could apply to you, to me, to any of us. As an early, what shall I call her, suffragette, named Texas Guinan used to say, "Hello, sucker."
You have asked for audience.
I have, Your Majesty.
Uh-huh. It says discard. You are correspondent for Reflection, a magazine in America. This is true.
This is true.
This is a lie. There is no magazine. And you are a, how they say, swindler, faker, hustler.
Now hold it, Your Majesty.
Put him into prison and lose the key to the lock.
Our mystery drama, The Wedding Present, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Ralph Bell. It is sponsored in part by Cat's Paw, Heels and Soles. I'll be back shortly with Act One. They say you cannot cheat an honest man. In the first place, you should always question any proposition that begins with "they say." In the second place, honest men, by the millions, are cheated everywhere, every day. Honest women, too. In the third place, this is merely a piece of propaganda put out by various and sundry hustlers, swindlers, and con artists. If you don't believe me, just ask Mr. Oliver Tolliver, who is the king of them all.
King? Well, let me be laying it on a bit thick. Crown Prince, maybe? Or Grand Duke? But what do all them titles mean, anyhow? I could print you up a whole set of fancy gilt-edged visiting cards, and you could be anybody you like, from King Zong of Albania to Queen Hukalii Lulilani of Hawaii. But royalty's the thing that's riding high in this year of 1912, especially in what are known as the Balkans, particularly in this country of... Waiter... what did you say your name was again?
Yisbrach Sistor.
Why don't I call you Max, eh?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is the name of this country?
Graf Schistli.
Groundbag.
Groundbag. It is even what I said.
Bring me another bottle of that green poison, will you?
Da. The pan de prasvi.
The boss?
Yeah, the boss. He look this way.
Yeah, what's on his mind, Max?
What is always on boss mind? Dinier strostarvi.
You mean, money?
Da, money.
Max, old buddy, I don't have any money.
No money. No, it's no good.
It's a mere temporary situation. As they say, transient, momentary. Now, look, you go over to the boss, and here's what I want you to tell him. I'm Oliver Tolliver, Central European correspondent for Reflections, the most widely read magazine in the United States. You got that? You can see I have my notebook, my camera... And tell him I propose to do a feature on this most magnificent hotel. As a result, American tourists will storm the place in such numbers they'll have to ask the National Guard to keep them away. Now, surely that's worth the price of a couple of drinks, isn't it? It's usually worth more, but I wasn't about to use this kind of bait for small fry. I saw Max in earnest conversation with the boss... I could see a smile break out on the boss's face. The first thing I knew, the boss himself heaped the tray full of all kinds of wine and dishes and hustled it over to my table. He couldn't speak much English, that boss, but he sure knew what he wanted to say.
Eat, drink, write, take pictures.
Sure, of course, boss. I breathed a sigh of relief. The groceries and a place to stay were guaranteed for the duration. Now, you may want to know what I was doing here in Groundbag. Well, I had just made it from Austria, a few steps ahead of the police. It seems the shares I was selling in a silver mine were, well, that's some part of this particular story. As they say, any port in a storm, so here I was, gathering my forces and considering my resources, as they say.
More wine.
No, thanks, Max, but, now that I've taken care of the inner man, I'll see what I can do for the outer one. Who runs this place?
King Bovra.
King Bovra. And who's he?
Oh, he's not known. Last king hired him to train army. Army make revolt, kill last king. Bovra becomes new king.
Aha. And what kind of a king is he?
He's king. He like everybody to know.
To know what?
Who is king? Have pictures and walls every place. You see?
Oh, yeah. That's King Bovra. He sure likes to wear medals and braid and all that.
Oh, he's king. You see down the street, everywhere. Statue of king.
He sure makes the point, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's king everywhere.
Why does he look familiar? Where did I see that face before? Well, Max, see you around supper time. I never saw anything to beat it. The king not only had statues of himself on every corner, it seemed like, but he had whole groups of folks sculptured in marble. Himself standing in the middle of figures of Julius Caesar and Napoleon, Alexander the Great, all of them looking up to him. And there were tablets in bronze fastened to the buildings telling what a great guy he was. Bovra the Magnificent. He looked like he would be duck soup for me. So I took myself to the royal palace, sent in my card, and waited to see what would happen. I didn't wait long.
You have asked for audience.
I have, Your Majesty.
It says in the card, you are correspondent for Reflections magazine in America. This is true.
This is true.
You say you will take pictures, write story. Everyone in America will love King Bovra. And in return, King Bovra will give you a little gift of money.
The fact is, Your Majesty, the magazine pays very little, so you see...
The fact is, the magazine pays nothing at all. Because there is no magazine. And you are, how they say, swindler, faker, hustler.
Your Majesty, I protest.
Oh, come off it, Ollie.
You're not King Bovra?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, you're also Jake Tyndale. Jake the fake Tyndale. Hey, how did you get that?
Oh, ambition, Oliver. Well, there was an opening for a general to train troops in this 2x4 country.
Well, what do you know about training troops?
Hey, what do you have to know? You just need a good, loud voice.
Uh-huh. And now you're king, huh?
Well, I always wanted to be king, Ollie. I worked at it, and, well, here I am.
Yeah, but I understand that you had to kill some people.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to kill people to get what you want.
Oh, no, you gotta draw the line.
Why?
Well, because swindling is an honorable profession.
It is?
Well, Jake, it's an ancient calling, eh?
Well, just between you and me, Ollie... What's honorable about stealing?
Oh, come on. I don't really steal, Jake. And neither did you when you worked with me.
Yeah, you always had those crazy ideas. That's why you never got anywhere, Ollie.
You hustle a guy, but you do it honestly. You make him think he's getting something for his money. You give him a dream, a feeling of anticipation. You show him a whole new world. You give him his money's worth.
Ollie, how much do you want for that interview with me that you're never going to write for Reflections? Because the fact is, Reflections don't exist.
Nothing.
Oh, come on, Ollie, let me share some of the wealth, huh? My very first hustle was the one I worked with you. You taught me everything I know.
I never taught you how to kill people. Besides, I couldn't take money from you. Not under these circumstances.
Why not?
And there wouldn't be any fun in it. You're in on the swindle.
Oh, Ollie, Ollie, what am I gonna do with you?
Oh, Jake, I guess we can't do business. I'm sorry.
Well, let me know if you ever need anything, eh?
Okay. Goodbye, Jake. I went back to the cafe. I wanted to think things out. And then I saw her. She was sitting near the window. What was she doing here? I decided to ask her. I beg your pardon, miss, but what are you doing here?
Well, you must be an American.
Yes, and so are you. My name is Oliver Tolliver.
Oliver Tolliver?
My father did it deliberately. He said to my mother, it's a name to build character. If he can rise above it, he'll be a success in life.
And have you risen above it?
I don't know.
My name is Jenny Harwell.
Uh-huh. Well, getting back to the original question. What are you doing here?
I don't know. I don't even know where here is. I can't even pronounce the name of the place.
Huh. Okay, you don't know what you're doing here. How'd you get here?
I don't know that either.
Mm-hmm. What's the last thing you do know?
I was in Paris.
Doing what?
Studying art.
Oh, you're an artist.
I hope to become an artist one day, but...
Yes, but?
Well, it may never happen.
Why not?
Well, the place to study, to learn, is Paris. I ran out of money.
Oh.
I wrote to my father, and he wrote back, enough of that foolishness. Come home to Newark, New Jersey, and learn shorthand and typing like a proper young lady. So I packed my bags.
Well, this don't look like Newark, New Jersey.
I was supposed to get on the train to Le Havre. It was late at night, and the man at the station didn't speak English. I guess I just took the wrong train. The next thing I knew, they put me off here.
Uh-huh. And now what?
Well, I guess I'll just have to wire Daddy for more money. I hate to do it, though.
Can you do anything else?
I guess not.
Have you had your dinner?
Well...
Have it with me.
Oh, no, I really couldn't.
Oh, it's all right.
Well, you don't look as if you're too prosperous yourself.
A temporary condition, as they say. Besides, I have an understanding with the management of this hotel. No money ever changes hands.
Well, I'll have dinner with you on one condition.
Name it.
Change seats with me.
Why?
Because from here I have to look at that abominable picture on the wall.
No. You can't say that very loud. It's a picture of the king himself.
I don't care. Whoever painted it should be shot.
What's wrong with the picture?
What's wrong with it? Do you like it?
Oh, it looks like the king.
That's what's wrong with it.
You mean it's not supposed to look like the king?
It looks like a photograph of the king.
That's bad?
It's the outside of the king. It should reveal the inner man. Oh, well, forget it.
No. Let's not forget it. How would you paint his picture?
Well, I don't know yet. I'd have to study him. Well, what's the difference? How could I ever get to paint his portrait?
You need an agent.
I'm an unknown. Who'd want to be my agent?
I would.
You... What do you know about it?
All I'd have to know is how to get you a job.
All?
Now, listen. There's $10,000 in it.
$10,000?
Tomorrow, you're going to the Royal Palace.
Me?
You'll see the king.
How will I get to see the king?
I'll fix it for you.
You'll fix it?
Absolutely.
Are you sure you're sane?
Absolutely.
Are you saying that you can arrange for me to go to the palace and paint the king's picture for $10,000?
You've got it.
But...
And we split $5,000 apiece. Do you agree?
Agree? Well, of course,
you
but
just,
I...
You just leave everything to me.
But how are you going to
you
get
just
in...
Just worry about slapping the paint on a canvas. I'll take care of the rest.
You wish audience with King Emperor?
Yes, Your Majesty.
You may approach her divine presence.
Thank you.
Well, wait. What's on your mind?
Jake, I've become a patron of the arts.
What's the swindle?
Here's this young lady.
Oh, say no more.
Oh, now, come on, come on. Something like that.
Huh?
It's just that she is a great artist. And the minute I laid eyes on her, I said, now here is somebody you want to have to paint you a picture.
Is that a fact?
I know, you got plenty of pictures yourself, but there's none of them really worth the hoot.
Ollie, I paid first-class rates for all that artwork.
Ah, but you didn't get a first-class product. What could you expect from local talent here in Groutbag? Now, let me tell you, this young lady is one of them artists from Paris.
Paris?
Paris. Yes, sirree, Jake. And she'll paint you, well, a real panorama just for a measly $10,000.
You say she's from Paris?
She studied in Paris with all them big league artists. The real professionals who know what's what and who's who.
Well, I wonder, Ollie.
What's the wonder, Jake?
What are you trying to run in on me,
huh? Come on, Jake. This is on the level.
If you're tied into it, there has to be a swindle somehow, somewhere.
How? She has to paint the picture, don't she?
Well, yeah.
She has to turn it over to you, right?
Yeah.
You have to like it, right?
Yeah.
And at that point only, does the money change hands. Right?
Right.
So, you tell me, where's the swindle?
On the face of it, nowhere. But that's usually how it is with all of the Tolliver's swindles. On the face of it, all of them seem as pure and serene as the newly fallen snow. But knowing Oliver, who can say the pitfalls are not there underneath? We shall say nothing more until the second act, which shall arrive here shortly. Is long and life is fleeting, or so the philosophers say. We are concerned with art in our story because we are considering a work of art which is being sponsored by a confidence operator named Oliver Tolliver. And wherever you find Oliver, you may rest assured that a hustle of some sort cannot be far behind.
Hello, Oliver.
Jay, do you see the king?
Yes, I saw the king.
Jenny, what's the matter?
The matter? Well,
I thought it was fixed. The king and I, we agreed on a price and everything. Doesn't he want to go through with it?
Oh, yes, he wants to go through with it.
All right, then, let's have a drink and celebrate.
There's nothing to celebrate.
Well, sure there is. You're going to do the picture.
I don't want to do the picture.
You don't? Why?
I don't want to, that's all.
No, that's not enough.
I'm going to wire my father for the fair home, and I'm going to...
Oh, all right, come on, just tell me what happened, huh?
He doesn't want me to paint the picture.
Well, you just said he was willing to go through with it.
He wants to paint the picture himself.
Well, what does he know about
me? Oh, I'll hold the brush and apply the paint to the canvas, all right, but...
I still don't get the hang of it, Jenny.
He had the picture all planned out. He sees himself as the king of the gods, Jupiter.
Yeah?
Seated on his throne high on a Mount Olympus.
All right.
All right? And he's surrounded by George Washington, King David, Daniel Webster, Abraham Lincoln, all the great figures of history and philosophy and literature, Shakespeare, Socrates, and all of these great men are going to be looking up at him with adoration.
Jenny, it is his painting.
The sky above is filled with angels, and the rest of the canvas is crowded with soldiers and cannons and sailors and battleships, and Oh, I'm ill, Oliver. I'm ill.
Yeah, well, here, just drink a little of this wine.
I'm going to wire home for money.
And go back to Newark, New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, come on. What's wrong with putting George Washington in the picture?
What's wrong with it? You missed the point. I'm an artist.
Yeah, well, so am I.
How can you call yourself an artist?
I am an artist because I do my work artistically. I don't think that by doing this picture, you'll be selling out to the Philistines. Whoever they were.
If you're an artist, perhaps you can understand. I want to paint the kind of picture that will go on the wall of a museum.
Well, I can understand that.
When you stand there and look at it, it's going to get right inside you, underneath your skin. And from that moment on, your life will never be the same again. Oh, what's the use? I'm sure you can't follow a single word I'm saying.
Oh, I can, Jenny, I can.
Oh, let's cancel this whole business.
All right, sure. I'll just tell the king you changed your mind.
I'm sorry, Oliver.
Well, I'm sorry, too. I'm sorry for the both of us. I'm sorry for me, because with my half of that $10,000, I know of a gold mine in California, forget it. But I am still more sorry for you, because with your half of the $10,000, you could go back to Paris.
Paris?
Paris, where the true art flows like the Seine.
Oh, please, don't.
Yeah, I'm sorry for both of us.
No, Oliver, please, not again.
All I asked you to do was just...
Sell out. Betray every single artistic ideal and principle.
No, not every. It would be different if you were doing it for the money.
But I would be doing it for the money.
No. You're doing it for a year in Paris. Think of her.
Who?
That Jenny, who'll never see the light of day. That great, renowned, and famous artist whose pictures could have hung in the foremost museums of the whole civilized world. But that Jenny will never swing a brush. You know why?
No.
Because you'll have killed her. Yes, assassinated her before she even had a chance to make her mark in the world. Try her wings.
Please, Oliver.
Instead, there's going to be a different Jenny. In Newark, New Jersey. She'll be wearing her fingernails down to the knuckles, pounding a typewriter in some Philistine's office. Losing her eyesight, staring through a file cabinet. And why? I'll tell you why. Just because she wouldn't, just one time, use her common, ordinary, everyday horse sense.
All right. All right. I'll do it. I'll do it.
And she started to do it. Every day she'd go off to the president's palace, and every night she'd come back to the hotel. Her eyes would be dull, her face would be pale, her steps would be dragging. She'd plop down at the table and just toy with her food. Now, Jenny, you do have to keep up your strength.
What for?
You have to finish the job.
That's exactly what it is. A job.
Ah, look. It won't be so bad.
What do you know about it? What do you know about anything?
Jenny, come back. You haven't even touched... what's the use? A man has to protect his investment. And so the next day I went with her. We were shown into a large room. Actually, it was the formal ballroom that had been made into a studio. And I guess you really needed every square foot of it. King Bovra, my old friend Jake, was seated in the center on an enormous throne. He was dressed like a Roman general in golden armor. He was surrounded by at least 50 people, all in brilliant costumes. Suspended from the ceiling with dolls dressed as angels. Oh, yes. It was a real piece of work. Now, she was splashing paint on the most enormous canvas I ever did see. It looked fine to me, but what did Jake think?
It ain't at all bad, Ollie.
Bad? You gotta admit, Jake, she sure knows how to slap on that pigment.
Yeah, that she does. Oh, tell me, Ollie, don't she never smile?
She's a serious little girl, Jake.
Yeah, you always did go for the serious type.
Oh, me? Me and her? Come on, there's nothing there, Jake.
you could have fooled me. And that's something not many people can do.
Hold still, all of you. What's the matter? Haven't you ever posed before?
Temperamental, ain't she?
Well, don't that prove she's got talents?
Just one little thing. Why is she so slow?
It ain't as if you're paying her by the hour, Jake.
But I got other things to do. Now, I got a whole country out there to run. I got a foreign crisis coming up with Austria. People are getting all miffed about it. So, Ollie, you just tell her to speed things up a bit, will you?
I'm glad you came with me, Oliver, so you could see for yourself just what I have to put up with.
Jenny, it ain't so bad.
Every moment is sheer torture.
But the picture looks pretty good.
What do you know about it?
The king loves it.
Oh, Oliver, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Oh, now, honey, everything's going to be all right. You just finished a little picture. A
little picture? Do you realize it's almost as big as the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, we should have got more money. Maybe I can renegotiate the contract.
Maybe you can cancel.
Oh, honey. You know, whenever you get into this kind of mood, just say the magic word, that's all. You'll feel 1,000% better.
What? What's the word?
Paris.
Paris. All right. All right, I'll try to get through another day.
The days dragged on. The work moved along slowly. But there seemed to be progress. She didn't complain anymore. She just wouldn't talk about it. She'd come back from the palace, pick at some supper, and then go upstairs to her room.
Good evening.
Ah, Max, good evening.
Yes, yes, it's Max. How is the picture?
What picture?
A picture lady paint for king.
How do you know about it?
Oh, her uncle is in picture. George Washington.
George? Oh.
There's many people in picture. Everybody have relative in picture.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's coming along.
It's coming slow. Very slow.
Oh, maybe. I guess you could say that.
It's too slow.
What do you mean, too slow?
Well, the king, maybe he not pay for a picture.
Hey, wait, just a minute. Hold the phone. What was that last part? The king, maybe he'll not pay?
It's true. King maybe not pay.
And why wouldn't the king pay?
Maybe king not be here.
Where would he be?
Maybe king be dead.
Dead
is fact.
Yeah, but how? Why?
How? Bank. Revolution.
Revolution?
It's true. Revolution. Every year, 2 year, revolution.
Oh, boy. This would be all I needed. Max, when is this revolution schedule to come off?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Well, maybe next week, next month. But this fact will be revolution.
Oh, boy, that's all I need right now, a revolution.
Well, is a fact. Tell lady, finish picture quick.
You get these sudden revolutions in those volatile little countries where anything can happen. Look at what's happened in this little nation of Graubag already. An ex-American con man is the king. And another American, who is still a hustler in good standing, is trying to get His Majesty's picture painted. Stand by. We may unleash the dogs of war in Act 3 shortly. Revolutions come and go through every age of history. Just what they prove, I do not know. The matter is a mystery. Yes, revolutions are not only a mystery to the poet, but an impending one can also be a source of financial loss to the hero of our story.
Max, fill me in on this revolution, huh?
It's a revolution.
Yeah, but what kind of a revolution?
Against king.
Why?
Like I said, king make deal dizzy. How you say?
Bargain?
Yeah, bargain.
With who?
With Austrian ambassador.
To do what?
To sell him country.
The king wants to sell this country to Austria?
To Emperor Franz Josef.
But why?
For dinero sarchi. How do you say it?
Money.
Yeah, the money.
Hey, what's that?
It's mob.
What are they saying?
He's calling King Traitor.
What are they going to do?
March to Central Square. Build big, bonfire. Hold big meeting.
And then?
And then Lady March on Palace.
Ah. Thanks, Max. Thanks for the tip.
It's nothing.
Jenny?
Who is it?
It's me, Oliver.
Oliver? It's almost midnight.
Jenny, get dressed, quickly. We don't have a minute to lose.
Oliver, what is it?
We must get to the palace.
Why?
Hurry, I'll explain on the way. Hey, driver, can't this carriage move any faster? We won't get there in time.
In time for what?
In time for you to finish that painting.
Finish it?
Yes, it must be finished by tonight.
Tonight? Why tonight?
Because there may not be any tomorrow.
Well, how can you say that? There's always a tomorrow.
But not for King Bovril.
Why not?
There could be a revolution. He would be overthrown, in which case your $10,000 is down a drain.
But I can't finish it tonight.
Hey, Jenny, you've got to. Just paint, smear it on, pour it on, slop it on. But get it on. And we'll walk away with our money.
Oliver.
No.
Please, listen to
me. No, I won't listen. I can't let you do it. I can't have you performing anymore. That's soul searching.
Don't let me finish the painting.
Look, honey, you're almost done with the thing now. What does it need? Just a couple of more strokes of the brush, right? Do it and walk away from it. Walk right into Paris. Paris and glory.
Ollie.
You don't want to give up Paris, do you?
I don't know.
Sure you know. You're going to finish that painting, and one day when this is over, you're going to thank me. See if you don't. Hey, driver, can't this rig go any faster? Finally, it seemed like years. Actually, it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes. We reached the Royal Palace. The streets were surprisingly quiet. The guards knew us and let us in. We went into the grand ballroom and she picked up a paintbrush. Hey, Jenny, it looks great. Just glorious.
No, it doesn't.
Take it from me, honey.
It's dreadful.
Hey, you're finished.
I have to highlight this
it's
little
perfect.
Bit.
It's perfect.
I'd better add shadow to this part, right?
Honey, you can spend the rest of your life just nitpicking. It's finished, huh?
See here, Mr. Tolliver. It's finished when I say so.
Okay. You just tell me when, huh?
It's finished.
Oh, great.
No, it isn't great. It's awful.
Ah, they told me you were here.
Your Majesty, what do you think of the picture?
Now, that's what I call a painting. I mean, I really do.
I believe the terms were payment upon completion?
Absolutely. Oliver, you don't imagine I carry $10,000 around with me in my pants pocket, do you? Stay here. I'll be right back with your money.
You see, honey, it's all over.
No, it isn't all over. I've done a terrible thing, Ollie.
You did it in a good cause.
I've sold out. I've been a traitor to all my principles.
You'll see. You'll feel better in the morning.
No, I'll never feel better. What's that noise?
Boy, there must be a crowd headed this way.
They're shouting something. What is it?
Oh, they're just shouting, renegade, traitor.
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
They mean me.
You? Not now.
Help me. I'm a renegade to the principles of true art. I'm a traitor. Those words are for me.
No, you're not. Jenny, you're getting this all mixed up.
I'm not a traitor. I'm not a renegade, and I'll prove it.
Jenny, what are you going to do?
I'll prove it.
No, Jen, don't.
I am not a traitor.
Will you put down that bucket?
Don't try to stop me, Ollie. I'm going to do this.
Jenny, you're covering me. You're destroying it, Jenny.
That's right. I should never have painted it in the first place.
Oh, Jenny, look what you've done.
Should prove it.
The painting, it's been all...
I'm not a traitor, and nobody can call me a renegade anymore.
Nobody was calling you a traitor.
They were. Didn't you hear them? You yourself told me those words meant traitor, renegade. They did, didn't they?
Yes, but they weren't meant for you.
Of course they were. Who else?
The king.
The king?
He's been accused of selling out the country to the Austrian Empire. Listen, they're just outside the palace wall. Don't you hear them? It's for him. It's not for you.
Oh.
And you destroyed your painting for nothing.
Look through the window. The king. He's standing on the balcony. He's holding up his arms. Oh, look, he's going to talk to them. And they're going to listen to him.
People of Grodberg, there has been a rumor that I have signed a secret treaty with Austria. Let me tell you, that is a lie. Grodberg always was, is now, and will always be free. An independent!
He went on and on in that same vein, and they listened. All their frowns turned to smiles, all their jeers into cheers. And all these people who were ready to lynch him now hailed him as the greatest patriot and liberator in the history of the country. Soon, everybody gave up and went home. So did we, Jenny and me, back to the hotel. Without, of course, our $10,000. I don't mind telling you, the king was pretty miffed about it, too.
I'm sorry about that money, Ollie.
Oh, it's all right, Jenny.
It's just that I did what I had to do.
I understand.
Do you? I don't think so.
How can you say that?
Oh, well, just because of something you said.
What did I say?
I thought it was silly, but I thought that mob was mocking me, and I destroyed the painting. And when it came out that they were there to call the king to account, you said I had destroyed the painting for nothing.
Jenny, it doesn't matter about the money. I'd rather talk about something more important.
Is there something that's more important to you than money?
Yes. You.
Me?
Jenny, I'm in love with you.
Oh.
I want you to marry me.
Oh, Oliver, I'm really very fond of you.
Yes?
More fond of you than anyone I've ever known.
But?
But I can only marry a man who's an artist.
I've already told you, Jenny, I'm an artist.
Oh, only a man who's an artist could understand me, know me, sympathize with me, live in tune and in harmony with me. Oh, only an artist.
But I keep telling you, Jenny,
no, Ollie. No, you're not. Not really. I'll wire home for money tomorrow, and if there's anything I can do to help you...
Jenny, listen to me.
There's really nothing more to be said. Good night, Oliver.
Was picture finished?
Oh, Max. Yeah. Yeah, more ways than one.
Ah. Well, crowd to go home.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know who was here eating dinner?
No, who?
He's just finished eating. He's Austrian ambassador.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. As he walk out the door, I hear him say to chauffeur, "We go to King's Palace."
Is that a fact? The Austrian ambassador has gone to see the king?
Is a fact.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What do you know about that?
Hello, Ollie. I missed you at breakfast.
Yeah, I was busy. I had some chores to take care of. First, I had to develop some pictures.
Pictures?
Oh, yes. Don't forget, I'm chief correspondent and photographer for Reflections Magazine.
Oh, now, Ollie, you know that magazine doesn't exist.
Or a magazine may be imaginary, but the camera is real. Last night, I sneaked back into the Royal Palace and took these pictures. Here, look.
Oh. Oh, that's the king. And who's that gentleman with him?
The Austrian ambassador. I see they're sitting at a table, very chummy, in all those official documents. Here's one with the ambassador pointing and the king with a pen in his hand, signing.
What does it mean?
It means the king has signed a secret agreement giving the country away to Austria. Which means he lied to his people last night. If they ever found out, if anyone ever saw these pictures, it'd be curtains.
Why did you take these pictures?
So I could show them to the king. Well, all right, sell them to the king. The king understood the situation in a flash, and so he walked up to his safe and counted out 20 crisp, new $1,000 bills.
$20,000?
$20,000. Here they are.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's true. Now, you can go to Paris.
Oh, Ollie. Ollie, I guess I really don't want to go to Paris. I've decided, I guess, if you can paint, you can paint anywhere. Maybe that's why I destroyed the pictures, so I would have to go home. But it turned out good for you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, very good. You see, when you destroyed your picture last night, while you were doing it, I said to myself, what a fool she is.
Yes, I know that's what you said.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it today. Because if you were a fool, then so am I. It's the way you practice your profession. I'm a confidence man, but I'm an honest one.
Oh, an honest confidence man.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. You gotta best the other fellow fair and square. When you get him against the wall with his life on the line, You can't turn the screws on him. You understand?
Yes, Ollie, I think I understand.
And so I'm going to take these $21,000 bills, place them here in this envelope, and send them right back to his nibs.
You are?
It's the artistic thing to do, isn't it? And it goes to prove that I am an artist, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does, indeed.
And I'm sending it back to His Majesty as a wedding present.
A wedding present?
Well, sure, because unless I do it and prove that I am an artist, there won't be a wedding.
You mean you'll really send it back?
Watch me. Hey, Max.
Yes, Max.
Max, I want you to take this and see that it gets to the...
But, Ollie, it's $20,000.
Well, what's $20,000 to an artist?
Look, give me that envelope.
Why?
Somebody in this family has to be practical. Both of us can't be idealistic dreamers.
Jenny, I see it as a sacrifice to the altar of art.
I've made enough sacrifices on that altar for both of us.
Yeah, but Jenny, that money represents the bread of accommodation to the establishment. The bread you get for selling out to Mammon and the Philistines.
Yes, and it's also the kind of bread you can put some butter on and jam.
Jen, I don't know. It just rubs against my principles.
You hopeless romanticist. From now on, my poor darling visionary, we will have a division of labor. You shall worry about art, and I will worry about commerce. Max, a bottle of wine, please.
And she did, and he did. Each sings his own song, and when the notes are in harmony, the marriage is happy. The $20,000 become the best kind of wedding present, one that a couple gives to themselves. What happened to King Bovra, nay, Jake the Fake Tyndale? That's another story, and you only get one at a time. However, there is a future. I shall return shortly. Are we everlastingly fascinated by stories of swindle, scams, and confidence games? These are the tales that seem to dominate so much of the literature of our day. According to some of the heavy thinkers, modern man believes that the loss of Eden has robbed him of his peace of mind and soul, and therefore he takes a perverse pleasure in the vicarious enjoyment of all sorts of knavery. Of course, there's a more simple explanation. Unfortunately, most people find scoundrels more fascinating than saints. Our cast included Ralph Bell, Earl Hammond, and Patricia Elliott. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Ravenhouse Paperback Mysteries. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time. Dreams.